could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and...
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, the supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. Well, certainly this afternoon we're going to have with us Mr. Ted Byfield, who's a Canadian, who's putting together something called the Christian History Project, and he's been working at this for some time, giving the Christian history of Western civilization. And you can't understand why we have our freedom, why we have our form of government, why society is as it is, unless you understand the Christian history dating all the way back, of course, to the time of our Lord, and then followed through with the conflicts with the Muslims and certainly the other forces infiltrating the churches, the dissension within the church, the Reformation within the church, all bringing us to where we are today. And we would not be talking to you over the radio today had there not been a child born at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago who became our Lord. And certainly he was our Lord at that time. He's our Lord today. But without an understanding of Christian history, why, of course, very little of the rest of the history of the world makes any sense. So with that as the background, a gentleman who's actually put out 5 or 6 volumes of this. And how many volumes are there going to eventually be, Ted?
Eventually, there will be 12. And by eventually, I mean in about 3.5 years.
All right.
Now, that's the program.
What motivated you to do this? You're about halfway through now, aren't you?
Yeah, we've published 6 of the volumes. They're all quite... they don't look like history books, of course. They're very highly illustrated. And they're written by Christian journalists, checked by academic historians for accuracy and soundness. But what persuaded me to do it, which is what you ask, it occurred to me. I've been a journalist all my life, and during that lifetime, you've seen a tremendous movement away from Christianity by most of the nations in the Western world. And you begin to ask, well, why is this happening? And one of the reasons that it's happening is people have no extensive knowledge or even adequate knowledge of our society and how it came about. And the principal drive behind Western society is the Christian faith. So we thought if we could tell that story in a compelling way and write it to a much more general audience than an ecclesiastical audience, for instance, we would be doing something well worth doing. So we put together a huge team. We got actually about 45 people work on each of these volumes. And they include writers and editors, of course, but also artists. We've got a lot of original art in them. Some of the best illustrating artists in the U.S. actually have been contributing to them, and then you need professors of history and that sort of thing to check on what we're doing, plus marketing people, plus we have a great team of about 20 researchers who worked to assemble the information for the writers to write. So it's a big project, and as we're, at one point we went broke, and now we got it up and running again, and we hope with through the grace of God to get it done by June of 2010.
All right, fine. It's just important that people understand the foundation of our society. And there's been an organized effort not to teach this in our schools, and not to teach this in our universities, not even to teach a lot of this in our churches. We'll be back in just a moment with Ted Byfield right here at Genesis.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, I'm David. And if you wake up at night to urinate like I was, then you'll want to take advantage of this special risk-free offer. If you have dribbling, burning, or pain during or after urination, then you may have a condition known as benign prostate enlargement. This is potentially serious and can get worse with age. So get regular checkups from your doctor and take advantage of this special risk-free offer on Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains natural ingredients that help support a healthy prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more beta-satosterols than ordinary soft palmetto. So it's powerful, and it works. What's better is that Beta Prostate is a healthy supplement, so you don't need a prescription for it, and it's risk-free.
For your risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-894-3418. That's 1-800-894-3418. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. That's 1-800-894-3418.
Is credit card debt making your life stressful? Do you avoid answering the phone in fear of another creditor calling? How would you like to cut your credit card balances by as much as half? Well, now you can. Safeguard Debt Management Services will connect you with a debt management specialist who will negotiate with your creditors to reduce your balances by as much as half. You can consolidate all of your high credit card balances into one monthly payment. Call for a free no-obligation debt consultation and learn how to get your very own customized debt management program. 1-800-794-4313. Enjoy the financial freedom you've dreamed of, knowing your debt is being handled by professionals. Call now for your free no-obligation debt consultation. Regardless of your credit history, Safeguard can help. Get the answers you're looking for. The call is free, the consultation is free, and the information could change your life. Call now. 1-800-794-4313. That's 1-800-794-4313.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest today is Ted Byfield. We're talking about this Christian History Project, and I will tell you that these books really are beautiful. We have several of them, and they're beautifully illustrated and beautifully presented, and a very, very clear and concise understanding of the history. And of course, you can't understand the true history of our modern times unless you understand the influence of Christianity. And you can't understand, of course, much of Christian history unless you understand the history of the things that took place in those long-distant times. So what really is the message you'd like to bring forward with this series of books, Ted?
I think if we can create a situation, or help create a situation, in which Christians regarded those Christians of the past as somehow or other part of their family. That is, if they looked back, and when they looked back on what happened in all the periods that you mentioned, the collapse of the Roman Empire, which are perfectly hideous, of course, and all those things that happened to them, they would be thinking, this is what happened to us back then, and here's what we did in this instance, and back in the 14th century we did that, and in the last century we did the other. But they're using the first-person plural pronoun, we. In other words, they're identifying with these people so that you begin to realize that we're part of a family that is much older than America, than the United States, that is, or Canada, much older even than Western Europe, that has been going on century after century, and that the people who lived their Christian lives, whether we're talking in the 800s or the 1600s or the 2100s, faced much the same kind of temptations, much the same kind of challenges, much the same kind of difficulties, sometimes the great joy of the presence of Christ in their lives. And you begin to think, you know, this is, I'm part of something here that is far greater than almost anything you read of any time in the paper at all. It's something that's marching through history and really is cannot be stopped. This gives a person a great sense of assurance, and it expands, as it were, your concept of God and the role he has played in our society.
Well, of course, the history of Christianity, though, in many times is the history of man turning against God time and again. And we had several episodes even in the history of our own country where, of course, in the early 1700s, our country had pretty well, abandoned many of the Christian precepts. It took the Great Awakening in 1730 to bring people back to a personal relationship with our Lord. The same thing happened in the 1800s, about 100 years later. And do you see something like that happening again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you see that these things occur, but that gives you a sense of confidence, because when you look around you and you see what's going on in modern popular music and some of the movies that are being produced, you think this must be just something so awful that nobody has ever seen it before. But you realize, as you've just said, we've seen awful things before, quite often, much worse than what we're seeing now, and the faith survived, and the individual Christians who had to endure those things found strength in the grace of God in doing so. So you tend to think, well, we're still here after all these centuries, and therefore the thing must have some tremendous power behind it. And that power is also, of course, behind you and me, provided we put ourselves in the way of it.
Well, certainly this is really quite an understanding to get that many scholars and certainly all the researchers that you're describing. How were you able to actually raise the funds to accomplish the first six volumes of this?
Well, what we did, the idea was originally mine, and I was in touch with a great many people in the oil industry in Calgary, all of whom they made a great deal of money. Some were Christian, some weren't. And they seemed to think that this was a magnificent way of making money. Well, they put up a $3 million into it. We tried to telemarket it, phoning everybody, it just didn't work. So while we were able to get out six books, and we did find 10,000 people who bought all six, the cost of finding them was horrendous, and the company went simply broke after a while. That's about 3 years ago. And the director said to me, is the sort of author of the idea, look, why don't you go around and put together a non-profit society to finish this project and put the other six books out? So I worked for 2 years, traveled all over the U.S. and Canada, and we found an assembly of directors, of people who are determined to see it done, and we've established societies, in one in Virginia and one in Canada, one in Alberta, Canada, and people are the of the 10,000 that bought them, 2,500, that's about a quarter, have written to me urging that we finish the job. and get it done. So we were able to assemble enough money, nothing like the scale we had it before, in terms of marketing funds, but the books are just as good as the earlier ones, if not better. And we've been able to put the thing back on the road again, and we expect to have Volume 7 out by the end of the year, with Volume 8 by July of 2008. So on the last one is slated to come out in July of 2010. So it's been put back together again. So, I guess we learned a lesson. You know, if you try to make money on God, he's not there to make money.
Well, I'll tell you, that's for sure. I find that
we were ill motivated. I think I don't say everybody in it was. That's certainly not the case, but. We went about it the wrong way in a whole lot of different directions.
All right, fine. Well, certainly Christianity has been a dominant force throughout the last 2,000 years. The problem is today, my fear is that many people are using Christianity for political objectives and goals. Has it always been like that, that there were those who tried to use Christianity for a political agenda?
Oh, yeah. I guess the first instance of it occurs in the 4th century when the Christians throughout the 2nd and 3rd centuries, the 100s, if you like, and the 200s, we suffered terribly. I mean, the awful things they did to try to stamp it out, because the Roman Empire, which was the sort of center of civilization around the Mediterranean at that time, saw it as a tremendous threat, because people were dedicating their lives to this Christ, whoever he was, rather than to Caesar and to the cause of the empire. But then, as the Christians grew, Christianity spread simply by the evidence of its suffering. The people simply would not deny Christ, and they suffered all kinds of horrors rather than do it. The general populace began to say, you know, there's something behind these people. And eventually, one emperor was himself very intrigued with Christianity. I don't think you can establish really that he had no religious faith and he was just the kind of political opportunist that you're describing. But he realized that the Christians were a far more powerful moral force within the whole empire than any of the other Romans were. So he began to side with it. And all of a sudden, it became, rather than risking your life by becoming Christian, it became an opportunity for progress and advancement. So that the church, we faced a completely opposite problem than what we had for the first 300 years, where before people risked their lives to become Christian, it now became a source of promotion, advance, wealth, because, of course, Christians were what we would call the establishment. And this very easily goes rotten, and did from time to time. But we survived that in various ways, political officer, whether he's an emperor or a politician, seeking to take advantage of what Christianity has to offer from that point of view, this is not a new phenomenon. It's been going on for centuries.
All right, now I'm sure you're referring then to Constantine, who was
first. Yes, of course. But you see, it's easy to say Constantine was nothing but an opportunist. But that's a kind of hard case to prove, because all his correspondence from the time he turned towards the Christian, all of it, is filled with references to God, praise to God, prayers to God. And I think that from anything I've read of it, it's very hard to say, oh, this man was just an opportunist hypocrite. I don't think that's true. One of the things that's interesting, you know, he never got baptized until he was on his deathbed, practically, because he was very conscious by that time of sin. And he was afraid that if he got baptized and then sinned, it could never be forgiven. This was an idea that was current at that time. So he never did it. Now, if he were purely an opportunist, he would have gone through the baptism service with no problems at all because he didn't believe it anyway. So that his life doesn't quite accord with the notion that he was simply taking advantage of Christianity to solidify the empire.
Well, how about
he was certainly doing that, but I don't know that you can say he was a hypocrite.
How about his mother? She certainly seemed to have established many of the holy places.
Yes, she was. There's no doubt that his mother was a Christian, and she had a huge influence on him, as many mothers do, you know.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but as Santayana told us, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. We'll be back in just a moment with Ted Byfield and welcome your calls.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place surviving acts of terrorism from biological...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 866-978-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Was it perhaps 50 or 75 years later when we suddenly have Saint Augustine and his opponents vying for influence within the Christian Church?
A little later, but not
about,
very much.
About 100 years later, about
Augustine was the great right. theologian of the ancient world. You know, I mean His teaching simply dominated what was taught in all the churches for close to 1,000 years, and it wasn't really until the Western Church began to discover Aristotle, the Greek thinker, and began to try to harmonize its theology with the teachings of Aristotle, and Augustine's ideas were eventually, they weren't really overthrown, but they were much more elaborated upon. The thing he did was, we can't imagine it, but when the Western Empire collapsed and the barbarian tribes started to come storming through at the end of the 300s, and the beginning of the 400s, and Constantine was in the early 300s. When that happened, it would be like an atomic war. I mean, the barbarian tribes simply destroyed the cities of the Western Empire, and this is the time of Constantine, and people thought if Rome perishes, it's like the end of the world for them, because no one thought of Rome as destructible. And it turned out it was, you know, it'd be like New York being A-bombed or something like that. And then all the normal things we count on, from the movement of food across the country to railroads, everything like that, just suddenly stops. And most people just perish. And now, in this circumstance, Christians, and the country, the empire, was supposed to be Christian by then, a lot of it certainly sincerely was. People wonder, what's happening? Is God gone? What's going on? And in his book, he said, no, the city of Rome is a perishable thing. But there's another city that we can't really see, but we're building it within ourselves, and we're building it around us, and we will build it around us, is the city of God. And that's the one we really are citizens of, and that's the one we're headed for individually. And this book really inspired a great many people. I thought, you know, we aren't building an empire that's of this world. Jesus certainly told us that. But we have to make the empire of the world as close to what he wanted as we can. And this idea just began to inspire people, and as I said, went on for nearly 1,000 years. So we are greatly indebted to Augustine. Another man, incidentally, really, really, really strongly influenced by his mother.
All right, and she was a Christian. About 400, and then of course he wrote the book, The City of God, and actually, of course, Augustine's teachings are really manifested today in modern day Calvinism. You can't understand Calvinism unless you understand Augustine. And
that's right. Well, it's possible to trace a line of teaching from Paul in the New Testament to Augustine to Calvin.
Right.
And of course, from Calvin produces the Presbyterian Church, the Christian Reformed, Dutch Reformed churches, the Huguenot Church in France, which was big at one time. His teachings keep coming down, too. But you're right, Augustine was the man that inspired Calvin. There's not much doubt about that.
Yeah, and, of course, you can't really understand so much of our modern-day religion unless you understand the fathers of the Church, and certainly St. Augustine was one of those, and this is something that most Christians today are really totally unaware of. Remember, Augustine, about 400, Calvin, 1600, 1650, somewhere in there, certainly in...
1,200 years later.
Right. So, I mean,
he's 1,500, so it's only 1,100 years later.
But the scan of time really is just the most amazing thing, and yet you see these ideas. And these ideas are part and parcel of so much of what's going on today, and this is the reason many theologians feel as they do. And we have many different ideas in modern-day Christianity. But we must understand their origin if we ever hope to understand the truth. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment when we get back. Why, of course, we'll invite your calls at 1-800-259-5791. Right here at Genesis.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Jeff Rentz, and if you're interested in suppressed natural cures and rare exotic remedies, this may be the most important message you'll hear for a long time. There's an opportunity right now for a limited number of listeners to acquire an amazing, blacklisted, naturally occurring compound with very unusual ionic properties. In fact, it's considered the single most important remedy in all of Ayurvedic medicine. Medical studies have been conducted abroad on the effects this rare mineral-like compound has on energy, diabetes, tumors, ulcers, memory, and brain function, not to mention reproductive health, exercise recovery, and arthritis. Because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made. However, it's still quite legal to own this compound. And the best part? My listeners pay nothing down. Simply go to blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Or call 815-259-4552. That's 815-259-4552 for details.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high-net-worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high-net-worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-955-1173. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-955-1173. That's 1-800-955-1173.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Ted Byfield of the Christian History Project. And Ted, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get in touch with the Christian History Project or perhaps even order some of the books if they wanted to?
Yeah, there's the easiest way to get in touch with us, I suppose, is to just call up our website, which is www.christianhistoryproject.com. www.christianhistoryproject.com. You can, through there, you can see the books on that project, on that website, and you can read part of them, and you can see their history, and the history of the project, that is, and who's running it, who's writing for it. It's all there, and that's the best way to order the books.
All right. Well, of course, you know, most people know about the fact that Rome fell in 476 A.D. What they don't know is that the eastern part of the church, of the Christian church, survived for almost another 1,000 years. That was the Byzantine Empire. People don't understand history, and of course, subsequently, the Byzantine Empire was replaced by the Ottoman Empire, but the Byzantine Empire was a powerful force in Eastern Europe and certainly in Western Asia for, well, somewhere between 800 and 1,000 years, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. It's established by Constantine in the early 300s, and it fell to the Muslims in, what was it, 1451 or 2 or 3 in there. And so that would mean that it lasted 1,100 years as one empire. You know, there's practically no society, single, what would you call it, state, I suppose, in history, including the various regimes in Egypt, I think, that lasted that long. And it was very, very Christian. That people, it was certainly corrupt in many respects, but not nearly as corrupt as the sort of mythology of it describes. And it was really lost, I think, to the Ottoman Turks, who were Muslim. But we mustn't underestimate the Muslims. We thought, you know, well, they're really a thing of the past until a couple of airplanes ran into some buildings in New York City. What was it, 4 years ago? Last
6 years ago, in
last week. Then you begin to realize, hey, these people, they're still very much with us, and there's large elements within Islam are dedicated to the idea of eradicating Christianity, and the Ottoman Turks were among them. They took Constantinople, finally, after 1,000 years of trying. Then they went on, and about 300 years later, well, not even that, let's see, 200 years later, they almost took Vienna. And if they had taken, they came within a hair's breadth of taking Vienna, and if they had, we could easily have lost Western Europe. So that this factor of Islam is something that we should be altogether aware of all the time, and we aren't. And that's why I think that we responded improperly, probably, to 9/11. Certainly all the precautions they're taking against a repeat of it were necessary, but if we think we can reverse Islam by merely by force of arms, you know, that was a mistake we made in the Crusade. You can't. I'm not saying you shouldn't use arms, because you have to, but the only thing that works with them is the power of the gospel of Christ preached to them, not at the point of a gun, but at the risk to the person who's doing the preaching. Because in an Islamic country, anybody who preaches Christianity is subject to a death penalty, and any Muslim who converts to Christianity is similarly subject to a death penalty. So it's risky, but that's the only thing that works. Now, although that's the lesson of history, and we didn't have the lesson of history, which is why we underestimated what they were capable of doing, and which they did on 9/11.
Well, I think there's so much we need to learn about history. And, of course, there are a few important dates. I mean, 1683, when the Battle of Vienna, 476, you can remember that, because it was 1776, you know, 1,300 years later, when we got our Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
People need to have those little numbers there at the, in the back of their minds, so we can begin to piece this together. We've got a caller from New York. Who's calling us? Tracy. Oh, hi, Tracy. How you doing?
Oh, you recognize the voice.
It's good to have you with us. Yeah, Tracy lives up there around Rochester. Go ahead.
Yeah, wonderful. Quick question from Mr. Ted. Didn't get his last name.
Ted Byfield.
Okay, Mr. Byfield. Is Are your books done in a format that would be appealing, like, to preteens and teens? I'm thinking, now that I know they're available, like placing them in each one of my grandkids' homes for Christmas.
I think teens, mid-teens to late teens, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not suitable for younger children. But the way a lot of parents use them very effectively is to read the stories themselves in the books, and then and then recount them to the children in language the children can understand. Of course, our dream is to put out a children's version of the whole series, which I think would be very good. You'd have much the same pictures in them, but it'd be more, it'd be far more stories of individual people. It is pretty much anyway, but told at a level that a youngster can understand. So a lot of homeschoolers are using them. They certainly do it, but the books themselves are not good for younger children. For older children, they're very good. The level they're aiming at, Tracy, is roughly the level of a news magazine reader.
That's
in other
great.
Words, if you Time or Newsweek or one of these, if you knew a youngster, and some, lots of teenagers read those magazines at that age. If you knew your grandchild was like that, they're very good for him or her, but not for a younger child.
The beautiful, beautiful colored pictures, though, that's one thing I remember so much about the books, was, you know, just magnificently done.
That's what I caught, the illustration.
Right.
Well, in the interim of getting the children version out, I'd love to get what is there. I might not be around when the children version come out.
Yeah.
And I know they'll be there waiting on the younger ones. But my grandkids are preteens and teens, and if their parents can't take the time and read it, I'm just going to pray that they can, because I'm legally blind, so I can't go visit and read it to them. But I just thought it would be a wonderful gift for starting with my family, as well as getting perhaps a set to as a gift for the church that I attend. Will it be accepted? I don't know, but that was my thought. And do I have it correct? I wrote or attempted to write down, I can't read it, but I think I wrote down www.christianhistoryproject.
Correct.
Okay, is that .com?
.com.
Okay, wonderful. So I thank so very much, and I love what you've done, and God bless you. And I'm going to get off so I can listen and learn some more.
God bless. Thank
you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right, finally, because Tracy's got some children living in New York, so she's a little worried about them, especially in these uneasy times, and we certainly sympathize with her, but we can't, you know, be concerned about everybody. I mean, we have to look after our own families, and well, I think we're in for some difficult times, and yet we have to understand that the solution is not something we're going to come up with politically. I mean, this is a spiritual battle being fought on a political battlefield, and we jolly well better understand the foundation of our faith and the history of our faith, and that's why these books really are so very, very important. And then, of course, you know, after the time of the Battle of Vienna, just shortly before that, why we have the great Protestant Reformation. And this changes the whole picture of Christianity, because of course by this time the Catholic Church was fairly strong, certainly in Rome, while the Eastern Orthodox Church had really fallen from prominence after the defeat of Constantinople, and then along comes this a priest, and he's posts his differences with the Catholic Church there on the wall of the door of a church in Wittenberg in Germany or Bavaria, and really just shakes up the whole of the religious establishment, which at that time is really getting pretty corrupt again, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it does. It did. There's no doubt about that. The thing we're trying to bring about with these books is, the difference between Catholicism and Protestantism, and also Eastern Orthodoxy. While the Orthodox are certainly defeated in Constantinople, you have this huge Orthodox establishment in Russia, which is very, very powerful, and there's about 200 million Orthodox, I think, in the world, but that's the Eastern Church. But What we're trying to do is get a situation in which a Protestant now, having read these books, would say, you know, I don't agree with the Catholics, but at least I can now see where they were coming from, their concern for the unity of the whole Christian fold. I can see that. I don't think what their way of going about was right. I don't believe some of the things they believe. But I can see, I can understand where they're coming from. And the Catholic would say, you know, when I read the things that were going on and the long time in which the church talked about reform and didn't do anything about it, that was about 300 years, and finally somebody did do something about it, I can understand why that revolt occurred. And while I don't agree with it, I can see why they did it and the way they went about it and why it fell the way it did. Now, if you can bring that, we can see what the other guy did and why he did it. And while we don't have to entirely agree with him, but we understand it, we've accomplished something there. I think good things are happening like that. Let me give you two examples. We're near the break period here. I don't want to mess it up.
I'll guide you through.
You're going to tell me. Okay, well, the two things I think we should think about are very, very important. One is the film, Jesus, which was produced by Campus Crusade for Christ. Now, that, I think it's sold 200 or 300 million copies and something in the order of 600 or 700 million people have seen that. I've heard much bigger figures than that. And these people have received their picture of Christ, their portrait of it, they in their minds from that film. Because, of course, a visual presentation is always more powerful. Now, about 5 years ago, the Vatican ordered 6 million copies of that film for distribution in Poland and Italy. And they changed the box. That's all they changed. The package, so it made it look more Catholic. And now all those people which will receive this, and their plan is to take it through the other Catholic countries too, and South America and so on. All the people who see this are going to get their picture of Christ from exactly the same place that the Protestants got it. Do you see what I'm getting at? So there comes to be held among them a kind of common portrait or picture in their mind. I don't mean physical picture, but the man himself and everything he did and how he did it and why he did it and how he suffered. All this comes through that movie. So that's a good thing. The other thing that happened, you have a situation in which back in the 1930s, late 30s and early 40s, a group of about five men met in an English pub every week and read stories to each other that they'd written. And they didn't know it, but they were shaping the minds of really millions and millions of young people. One of them was C.S. Lewis. The other one was J.R.R. Tolkien. And out of that comes the Narnia books and the Lord of the Rings and all these things. And these things have had a powerful influence on people. And they're Christian, of course. Both of those series have the principles of Christianity directly behind them. That's the message. Now, there again, Christian theology is being taught. Lewis himself, of course, puts forward what he called mere Christianity. And both Catholics and Protestants are using his books to elucidate their faith. Now, that's, again, it's working people together again. And what, of course, we hope to do is to be able to provide a history, which will have much the same effect. You know, we're not looking for a sort of ratification of the Presbyterian Council of the United States or the Vatican or anything like that. But ordinary Christian Sunday school teachers and so on say, well, you know, we use these books because they give a pretty good picture of it. I don't agree with all of them, but they're very, very interesting, and people get really fascinated with them, and they tell a story. Well, you see, we are building a unity here. It doesn't require meetings of councils and theological agreement among theologians and ecclesiastics of one kind or another. And I think that's good, but it does mean we're growing together. Christ said, Jesus said, you will tell my disciples because they love one another. If we start, and I think with all the darkness that's going on today, that is happening. We are beginning to love one another.
Amen.
And I think that's tremendously important.
I mean, we have the Armenian Orthodox Church today. We have the Eastern Orthodox. We have the Russian Orthodox. We have the Catholic. And then within Protestantism, I mean, I can't tell you how many different sects we have. And, of course, what we need to do is agree at least on what we can agree on, and in many respects just sort of ignore the things that we kind of disagree on. We're not going to change it, and I don't make any effort in my ministry to argue the points of whether Arminianism or Augustine, the teachings of Augustine are correct, or whether Catholic or Protestant are correct, although people would like me to, and say all the trouble in the world is either the Jews or the Catholics. I want to get what we can get that will draw us each closer to God, and we're each going to have to determine wherein the truth lies. But what we want is a personal relationship to our Lord, and that's the important thing today. And I think that what you're doing certainly will help to unite people with an understanding of our common history. This is really what it's about, isn't it?
It certainly is. And, of course, you know, the Lewis, C.S. Lewis book, Mere Christianity, was interesting because he took all the major denominations, Protestant and Catholic, and he asked himself and put together, now, what do they all agree on? And people said, well, you know, it's going to be so small what they all agree on that there's no use writing the book. He found that it was astonishing how much they all agreed on, and he put it together in that fascinating series of radio broadcasts, which became Mere Christianity. That's what he called it. And that book, and his teaching generally, the headquarters of the sort of Lewis movement is at Wheaton College, which is an evangelical college, as you know, near Chicago. And when Ratzinger, the present Pope, Ratzinger came to England as the prefect of the College of the Faith back in the early, I think, late 80s, he gave a speech, his sort of formal speech, and about half of it came from C.S. Lewis, who was being preserved by Wheaton College, the evangelical college in the United States. That's the way things can be put together.
Oh, I guess it's been Ted Byfield, and once again, it's the ChristianHistoryProject.com. God bless you, Ted. Thanks very much for being with us. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much, Doctor, and hope we meet someday.
Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I don't mind that I'm getting older, but my wrinkles made me too nervous to smile. It was those fine lines that formed around my cheeks and mouth, and those crow's feet over by my eyes. People were starting to think I looked unhappy, but really I was just embarrassed by those wrinkles. Then I heard about a product called Tautinol. Tautinol is a serum that goes directly on the skin to support collagen and reduce the appearance of wrinkles. And it works. I'm not afraid to smile anymore. Now it's your turn. Today you can get a full bottle of Tautinol. You don't need a prescription, and you don't need surgery to reduce the appearance of those wrinkles. See what Tautinol can do for you and your confidence. It sure gave me something to smile about.
For your risk-free bottle of Tautinol, call 1-800-894-5152. That's 1-800-894-5152. Tautinol is the non-invasive way to reduce the appearance of wrinkles. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-894-5152. That's 1-800-894-5152.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network and coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Well, certainly I hope you enjoyed our interview with Ted Byfield. And you really need to understand that there is an effort to infiltrate our churches and divide us and get the Catholics fighting the Protestants and the Protestants fighting the Catholics and the Jews fighting both sides of the Christian faith and vice versa. Well, there really are people, of course, who have an intense hatred of all of the religions, and that's really what this whole battle is really about. That's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD, and I talk on the Forbidden Secret, the DVDs, the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone. There's a wonderful book. It's written by Manly P. Hall, who is a Luciferian. But it's a simple little book, and we don't list it. You'll have to request it by name, The Secret Destiny of America. We carry that, The Secret Destiny of America, and we'll explain to you why we are fighting over in Iraq today. The book was written in 1944. But it tells you that for 3,000 years, secret societies have been working to bring about world democracy. Isn't that what we're fighting over in Iraq, to bring about world democracy? At least that's what they would try to convince us of, with the woman wearing the black shawl, holding up her inked finger. You know, I voted. Well, of course, they not have a representative government. They've established an authoritarian Islamic dictatorship. If you read the Iraqi constitution that we've installed there, it is simply a government under Sharia law, and every matter of individual freedom will be referred to the mullahs, who's ever in charge, to determine whether it's right or wrong. And of course, unlike America, where our freedoms come from God, in Iraq, which we have installed the government there, why your freedom comes from the mullahs, the ruling mullahs, and of course the Iranian clerics have a much different idea. So again, the video you'd want to get would be Riddles in Stone, and the book that goes with that is The Secret Destiny of America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Let me remind you about our all-day conference on the 28th of October, and we hope you can come. We've got a great lineup of speakers, and it's going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning, go to 5 in the afternoon. We'll be serving lunch, and, well, people have come from all over the country. They seem to have enjoyed it. If you want a room, you're going to have to give us a call, because the rooms we're not going to be able to hold after the 28th of September, but we do hope you'll be able to come. On Sunday the 28th, our telephone number 1-800-544-8927 for the yearly Radio Liberty Seminar. Then, of course, we urge people to begin making preparations. I personally believe, and everything I read makes me convinced, that we're going to war with Iran, and that's going to put us into conflict with the entire Islamic world. We're going to disrupt the oil supply. It'll lead to chaos, and not only in the Middle East, but here as well. So get your food supply in, your emergency supplies. If you'd like an emergency food catalog, and it tells you how to get your water barrels and your food grinders. And believe me, the price of food is going up dramatically. The price of wheat's well up over $8 a bushel. I can remember when it was $1 a bushel, and corn, all of these things. You need to get them now before the price goes up, before you're going to get only genetically altered food products. And believe me, the shortages are setting in. Do not put off making your preparations. If you'd like a food catalog, a health catalog, a regular catalog, Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we'll be glad to send you a free newsletter. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lake streams and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
You are listening to GCN.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guests. And, well, this afternoon our guest is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. Hi, Joel. How you doing?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Nice to be with you again.
Well, we always enjoy having you and getting brought up to date on what you feel are the lead stories of the week. So why don't you pick the story up there?
Well, this week's World Affairs Brief is going to take as its lead my commentary on the carefully crafted statements of General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker as they delivered these incredibly slickly worded statements to the House and Senate committees. It was a masterful study in political evasion. Every major description of the situation on the ground in Iraq pointed to, quote, progress. However slight, however large the problems, however dim the hopes of a long-term solution, they could always see progress. It was, in fact, this hopeful lack of certainty about anything that emerged as their trump card. They called them the artful dodgers. They couldn't be pinned down on anything. A timetable for withdrawal, certainty of success, political stability, nothing except hope, which naturally meant more time, more money, more sacrifice to give this hope time to work. Even to assuage the critics, there was even a token proposal for phased but limited withdrawal. So they must have worked on this for months. Nothing more clearly, I think, demonstrated this art of bobbing and weaving, hedging and dodging, than when questioned by Democratic leaders critical of the war. They wanted assurances that this was not going to be an interminable process, and they came away empty-handed. But Jim Loeb told it, Democratic leaders say such a reduction of troops is not nearly enough, particularly in light of the inability of either Petraeus or his civil counterpart, Ambassador Ryan Crocker, to point to any serious progress. You see, they're distinguishing, the critics are distinguishing between slight progress, hope. We can see signs that they're standing up, for their position. They say basically there's no serious progress in the 8 months in achieving the kind of national reconciliation among the warring factions that the surge was designed to promote. And Senator Joseph Biden, who took a great deal of the brunt of the attack, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, said, he asked him point blank, are we any closer to a lasting political settlement in Iraq today than we were when the search began 8 months ago? And if we continue to search for another 6 months, the Sunnis, the Shiites, and the Kurds will stop killing each other and start governing again? The answer to both of those questions is no, he claims. But even with the two most Republican defectors support Senator James Walsh, Senator Elizabeth Dole, Democrats are still very unlikely, Dr. Stan, to come within any ability to gather two-thirds majority needed to overcome a Bush veto should they try to pass any legislation that forced him to change the military strategy that he has, or that the Bush administration has gone to such great pains to project to the American people.
Well, one of the interesting things I thought was when General Petraeus was asked something about, is America, are we safer than we were before? And he seemed to acknowledge that we weren't any safer than we were before, despite what we're being repeatedly told by the president. Oh, we're safer than we were before because we're over there fighting those the wicked al-Qaeda. But General Petraeus said he didn't give us that impression.
Yes, but he wasn't on our side in giving that impression. He was saying that because his job was to justify continued staying in Iraq. So he had to paint a picture that was mildly optimistic and yet sufficiently pessimistic that it would require lots more time, lots more money. You see where he's going?
Right. I have no question at all. He's a good soldier. He's doing what he's supposed to do. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
I need to do something about my dry heels. After a pedicure, they look great. Then I have to go right back again because my feet get dry so quickly.
Haven't you heard about Calex ointment? I use it regularly on my heels, and they stay looking great. And my feet feel as good as they look.
What's that name again? Wait, I'm getting my pen out.
It's Calex. C-A-L-L-E-X.
What makes Calex ointment so different?
It's got these natural enzymes that quickly exfoliate dry, cracked feet and leave your feet feeling soft and smooth, just like a baby's bottom.
For soft, smooth heels and feet, use enzyme-rich moisturizing Calex ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and found in the foot care section of Walgreens, Long's, Snyder's Drug, Bilo, Card Drug, HEB grocery stores, medicine shop pharmacies, and Rite Aid.
Hey, here's a drugstore. I'll be right back. I'm getting some Calex for my heels.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Joe is simply pointing out that General Petraeus certainly infers that our troops are going to be there for a long time, and those who listen to Radio Liberty regularly know that it has always been our position and that we intend to have a permanent presence in Iraq. But we can't tell the American people that, although apparently General Petraeus inferred that our troops, at least some of our troops, are going to be there for a long time. Of course, he's not going to tell the troops, the American people, the truth. Our troops are going to be there forever. We have no intention of bringing our troops home any more than we had any intention of bringing them home from Germany at the end of the Second World War, or Japan, or Korea, all of which are still occupied, 50 and 60 years after the wars were fought in those countries. But go ahead, Joe.
You know, Petraeus and Crocker coordinated their every move and their every word with the administration while going to great lengths to avoid the appearance of close collusion. Made a big point on the news hour, Jim Lehrer, that the fact that they had not talked to President Bush until the day after their presentation to Congress. And this was done, of course, to give the impression of independence from the administration. Anyone who believes the written texts were not known and approved of beforehand by the White House is either ignorant or naive. Coordination and vetting of their words, I'm sure, had taken place through numerous communications between Washington and the Green Zone prior to their arrival in Washington, D.C. Now, the president tonight, of course, is going to gleefully announce that with his satisfaction with the report, he's going to laud the integrity and the impeccable credentials of the message bearers.
Speaking of the speech he's going to give here this evening.
Right.
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 Go ahead.
All of this stuff is leaked in advance to the press, so we know essentially what he's going to say. Based upon the, quote, hopeful progress given the nation by General Petraeus, the president is going to assure the nation the process of drawing down limited number of forces can begin next year. He will reduce troop levels by some 30,000, or about 20%, by August next year, just as Petraeus is recommending.
But that's exactly where we were before they had the surge.
And that's exactly my point. Even without the war in Iran, which I think is going to erase all of this controversy, the U.S. is fully intending to keep more than 135,000 combat and support personnel in Iraq after the token withdrawal of 5 combat brigades involved in the surge. This means there'll be still 15 combat brigades remaining and effectively no withdrawal of any pre-surge troops. So this little maneuver of having a surge and then using that as a giveaway to justify some reduction in troops, this little maneuver has netted the U.S. a continued combat presence in Iraq at pre-2007 levels while letting the nation think we are withdrawing. Now, that is really slick, Doctor.
Oh, it really is, you know. And the average individual is not going to say, well, we have 140,000 troops, and we put in 30,000 troops, and then we pulled out 7,000 troops, and then we pulled out 23,000 troops, and now we've still got 140. Why, look at all the troops we've taken out. I'm afraid there are an awful lot of people who are going to be so naive, they're going to believe it because, they just never bothered to calculate and realize we've been taken in. We've been hornswoggled again.
Tom Engelhardt had a marvelous, if not satirical, commentary about this. He started out by quoting Eliza Doolittle and the lyrics from My Fair Lady. Words, 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 I'm so sick of words. Is that all you blighters can do? He said, we've had enough with the bloviating, which means pompous verbosity of speech of almost every member of Congress, the full-blast PR apparatus of the White House, and 2 endless days of congressional testimony from Petraeus and Crocker, not to speak of the flood of newspaper, radio, and TV stories. He says, but you can count on it. This is just the beginning. The same cast of characters will be talking, squabbling, spinning, and analyzing statistics of every sort for weeks to come, with a sequel promised to us next spring, when they're going to, talk about this drawdown and why we can or cannot do it. Everybody knows that's the case, just as everyone has known since midsummer that we would get to this point in September. And when we did, the things similar to those things said and written in the last 2 days would be said again and again and again, and nothing the blighters would say or write would matter one whit, nor change the course of events, nor change the tide of history, even though whole forests might be pulped up in process, and it would be springtime for hyperbole and breathless overstatement in the world news. I thought that was just a marvelous piece of writing.
It really is. Tragically, I talked to a lieutenant general who's going to be our guest next week. He was one of the original commanders in Iraq. He's retired now, and he will come on to my program and promise to answer the question that I asked him off the air. I said, oh, how do you think things are going? And he said, well, we're going to have to get our army out within a year or a year and a half. We're destroying our military. Our military is simply being totally destroyed over there. I mean, they're taking people and giving them $20,000 to join up and ship them out within 30 days and send them over there into combat positions. You don't make a soldier in 30 days getting them off the streets or out of the, you know, out of the inner city. And, of course, our boys are going over there, and their health is being destroyed, their families are being destroyed, and a third of them are sick, but by the time they get to home, those who survive and certainly either mentally crippled or physically crippled or are coming home in a body bag. We're destroying our military, and nobody wants to talk about that. Only a few of the retired military will come forward and say, we cannot continue this war. The American army is on the verge of collapse.
Well, and as you know, my general theory is that that's one of the stated purposes of this continuing antagonism around the world, was not only to antagonize our future enemies, to create an atmosphere for retaliation, but to create a weakness within our military that will be spread out so thin. Yes, a truly high-tech army, but the number of high-tech weapons available in that high-tech scenario is very, very limited. You can go through those very, very rapidly. And this war in Iran will deplete almost all of our stocks if we are to believe in any of the military leakers who talk about the volume of high-tech military weaponry and munitions that is being stockpiled for this attack on Iran.
Amen to that. Well, a lot of our good military men are just becoming totally disillusioned.
There indeed are a lot of military people that are waking up. They're reading the Internet rather than the propaganda, and they're seeing that there are major contradictions between what their yes-men generals are telling them and what's happening on the ground. And many people are being relieved quietly of command who object to this and are protesting, especially the uptick in activity towards the attack on Iran has a lot of military people worried. And, you know, Engelhardt's comments about how they will just keep analyzing and assessing things for years to come, playing people along indefinitely, this is a very crucial and true point. But sadly, it's worse than that, because powers that be will punctuate the boredom and predictability of their analyzing with new wars and new terrorist acts to keep the public hyped up in its patriotic, what I call a stupor of blindness.
Amen to that. And of course, I share your concern about the imminence of a war in Iran. And what really bothers me is it's like it was in December of 1941. I mean, the average person really, even though all the signs were there, we were going to war with Japan and Germany, the average American could not believe it was coming. And they just wanted to just keep going along and live their lives as they always had before. And, of course, then suddenly the reality of we are at war. It was always intended to be at war. The war was planned long beforehand, and of course, everything changed simply overnight. I fear that's going to happen again very soon.
You know, one of the major success pieces quoted by General Petraeus was Anbar Province. And Pepe Escobar of Asia Times, one of the most cogent political observers on the net, explains why the loss of, Anbar province essentially was lauded because there were various sheiks from the province were switching over to the American side, and one of the sheiks who was the foremost of them was assassinated this week. So Sattar Abu Risha was head of the Anbar Awakening Council, which is a tribal alliance that fought the Sunni al-Qaeda group in the western province of Anbar. At least one of his bodyguards died when a car bomb tore apart his car. But Pepe explains that Petraeus' key argument this week to prove his steering of the Bush-devised surge, that it was a success, was to spin the close collaboration between the occupation forces and the Shiite-dominant Iraq government in Baghdad on the one side with Sunni tribal leaders in Anbar province on the other. Petraeus framed it as if this sustainable solution was a huge counterinsurgency success of his own making. Nothing could be further from the truth, writes Escobar. The success story in Anbar is not due to the general's wily ways, but to the Iraqi sheikh Abdul Sattar Abu Risha, the leader of coalition of tribes, including 200 sheikhs, formed in the autumn of 2006 under the Anbar Sovereignty Council. Now, he's dead, of course. And Asia Times talked with Abu Risha this past spring in Iraq. He explained crucially that he had set up the council after his father and two brothers were killed by Al-Qaeda in the land of the two rivers. Yes, it was personal. Petraeus then joined the bandwagon. Abu Risha is not and never was a jihadist. He considered himself an Iraqi nationalist. He's not in favor of a caliphate, but he's definitely in favor of restoring power to Sunni Iraqis, which isn't going to happen soon. So this is a man who eventually would have defected again. It's very suspicious that he gets knocked off at a crucial time like this.
Well, go ahead.
Even the BBC, in its poll of Iraqis, just before the Petraeus testimony, found that 29% of Iraqis now think the situation will get better, as opposed to 64% who shared, which basically say that it is not going to get better. Almost 70% believe that the surge has hampered conditions for political dialogue, reconstruction, and economic development.
Well, I bet General Petraeus didn't bring that out, in his testimony before Congress. I mean, we feel so sorry for the Iraqi people over there. I mean, those who, have not fled the country. I mean, we've got millions of refugees have left the country, millions who are refugees in their own country. What would happen if that was something like that was to happen here? And of course, who's responsible for what's going over there? Why, of course, our government went in, to bring the people freedom. And look what we've ended up with.
This is a market alert from Midas Resources. Since August 9th, the Fed has created and injected $200 billion into the financial markets to keep them afloat, ignoring the hyperinflationary hangover that is the sure result. Data released by the New York Federal Reserve shows that foreign central banks have cut their stash of U.S. Treasuries by $48 billion since late July, with falls of $32 billion in the last 2 weeks alone. Could China be quietly dumping the dollar? The quality of your life depends on the quality of your currency, and the quality of the dollar is poor because the quantity is so high. Printing money out of thin air has disastrous results, victimizing middle-class citizens and discouraging savings. If you have been considering precious metals as a hedge against inflation, you need to act now. Procrastination is the mother of lost opportunities. Call me, Tom Andrew, at 1-800-606-1294. That's 1-800-606-1294.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle of the Nutramedical Report here in Genesis 2 to 4 p.m. right after Alex Jones, Monday to Friday and Sunday 8 to 10. We want to introduce to you some of the most amazing wellness solutions with Nutridyne, N-U-T-R-I-D-I-N-E, provides the most powerful organic iodine test-activated and monoatomic gold to regenerate your mind, body, and spirit. It supports mitochondrial energy, thyroid, stress, and stress hormones, as well as the hypothalamus and your clarity of being. We also want to introduce Living Streams Probiotic, the first second-generation probiotic on the earth. It removes stealth pathogens or organisms that can cause disease, viruses, bacteria, parasites, Lyme, fungi, and candida throughout your body. Eliminate stealth pathogens and order at NutriMedical, that's N-U-T-R-I, medical.com. Call us to place an order by phone at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. And we are here for you Monday to Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Take care and get protected.
This is Elizabeth Border. News alert. Twice a month, you can now get the Divided Kingdom's brand new newsletter. Concise, hard-hitting, the first issue discusses two vital questions, war in Iran
a coming One World Church? In the first issue is included a pungent discussion of NWO numerology. For a free sample copy of the Divided Kingdom dossier, write to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. A yearly subscription is only $50 for a newsletter that comes not once, but twice every month. Get the spiritual support you need right now for your free sample copy to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Once again, for your free copy of the Divided Kingdom Dossier newsletter, write to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609.
Improve.
Why don't you make your point? Joel was just making the point of why it is that American foreign policy has always been to push socialism, not free enterprise, not the open market, which of course you'd think what our foreign policy would embrace, but always this policy of centralizing power in the hands of an elite.
Well, they, as I was saying, that they use socialism to gain and maintain that centralization of power, because that's how you control the majority of votes, by promising them benefits. You know, there's a seductiveness about socialism that I was explaining before the break. Seduction is that everybody deserves the same pay for putting in 8 hours, and that's no more true, you know, than the man in the moon. People have differences, and people perceive differences in various different employees. And the genius of the free market is that you have everybody is free to be a judge about his own money and the use of his own money. And so people scrutinize, people discriminate. Discrimination has nothing to do with race per se. Discrimination is the right to make judgments about other entities, to make discriminating judgments. And socialism prohibits that, essentially saying that you're all equal. And so everybody that's below the curve, that is in essence getting scrutinized negatively because they maybe have some portion of their personality that's lazy, some that's untrustworthy, some that's just not up to par. They are enticed by socialism's call that you all get a standard compensation regardless of your true worth. They are enticed and attracted to that, and that's why democracies always turn socialist, and socialism always attracts the majority. Because the bell-shaped curve of humanity tends to have this bulk in the majority that would rather have a guaranteed income than be subjected to the scrutinies of the free market.
And that's why our founding fathers created a republic rather than a democracy, because they knew democracies would always result in a socialism and then ultimately in dictatorship.
That's right. And the only way to keep people in a position where they are... see the benefits of the free market is to make sure they have no other choice. In other words, they don't have the power to legislate to the benefits. They don't have the power to restrict people's discriminatory judgment. They don't have power to force people to hire or refuse to or disallow their ability to fire people. When people are forced to live with freedom and forced to live under the scrutiny of other people's judgments, they will have to do their very best to become their best. And even though you may be misjudged by people, and all of us have experienced people being misjudged by others, in the free market we can go elsewhere and sell our services to other people who will give us a better judgment. Unless we really are deficient, and then you can't find very many people, if any at all, to give you a better judgment. So then you are forced with the reality of change, and that's what the free market forces upon us. Now, the free market that the administration and other globalists are promoting is a type of mercantilism. It is free markets only for the big corporations. It doesn't take, you know, 1,000 pages in a NAFTA document to document free markets. You simply undo thousands of pages of bureaucracy, which it does not do. It creates bureaucracy because there are many ways in which they are fomenting unionism and trade protectionism and other things through their versions of free markets, and it does not free the little guy. That's where true growth in the economy comes from. It's freeing the little guy from the regulations, the ability to create jobs, taking away the government paid taxes and regulations to slow down the free market.
You're into that.
So the real true solution to get rid of sectarian violence in Iraq is, first of all, you take away from the government the ability to redistribute. And so you simply, nobody need bother take control of Parliament for the benefits they're going to get, because nobody can get benefits from Parliament. All you can do is defend fundamental rights. Everybody goes home, essentially just starts their own free market. Now, the only one problem that you have is the oil factor in Iraq. You've got this huge pool of, quote, national resources, and everybody wants a piece of that. In fact, the only successful thing that Ryan Crocker could state about the Iraqi government working is that it is distributing money to the various other entities. It's giving the money, and everybody loves it. So they're doing that well. You know, that just proves my point, that yes, everybody's popular, including Perón of Argentina, when he distributed bread to the people, and they loved him forever because he gave them freebies.
And, of course, unfortunately, a government that can provide whatever you want has got to be able to take whatever you have, because a government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And that's what we're suddenly establishing in countries throughout the world. Sounds to me like that's what we're doing over there in Iraq. It's like deja vu all over again, but we can't let the American people know why we're supposedly we're over there fighting for freedom. Isn't that what it's all about? Well, we'll be back in just a moment or two with Joel Skousen here at Radio Liberty.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625. 885-6625 for BioSolutions.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
Well, it's not just the power of present position, it's also the power of future position that promises.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Joel Skousen. And before we go on, wife, Kirsten, I would want to give Joel an opportunity to tell you how you can get a copy of World Affairs Brief, and hopefully you'll want to go ahead and subscribe to it, as I do, and I enjoy it every week when it comes. Joel, why don't you tell our listeners how they can learn more about World Affairs Brief and, of course, get a free copy?
Well, the World Affairs Brief, as many of your listeners know, is my weekly news analysis service delivered by email, and it's also downloadable from my website for those that don't have email or have trouble getting the brief. On the front page of the website, all during the week, you find a synopsis of the current brief, and this week's brief will be posted tomorrow. We won't get through anywhere near a lot of it today, and so I encourage you to go see the synopsis. If you want a one-time sample copy to help you decide, if you want to subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, there's a modest subscription price that's really quite reasonable for an in-depth analysis every week. You can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And tell me you'd like a sample copy, and I'll be happy to send it out. I might say, Dr. Stan, that I've had quite a flood of subscribers from people who have been listening to your radio show of late, and some from even overseas who are downloading your interviews on the Internet. I got one from Brazil the other day, and he's just incredibly complimentary of your radio show.
Well, it's rewarding to know that there really are people out there that are listening, and it's gratifying to know that they think it's worthy of their support. So thanks very much for letting me know.
Well, the next subject is the Israeli airstrike in Syria.
I'm really very interested in your thought on that, because obviously this has tremendous significance, and it's really not being played up a great deal. What do you make of this?
Well, as a former fighter pilot, I can tell you that Israel appears to be probing Syria's updated air defense systems in its latest incursion into Syrian airspace. The Russians have been sending into both Syria and Iran the new Pantsir S-1 missiles. This is their latest for export anti-aircraft missile system. And I think the Israelis, on behalf of the U.S., are trying to probe the Syrian air defenses and capabilities of the Pantsir S-1 missiles as a prelude to an attack on Iran. And subsequently, Syria may get attacked by Israel as a follow-on to the U.S. attacks in Iran. Now, a lot of this depends on... let me just put it this way. Debka.com, which has government sources, claiming that military experts from my sources conclude, from the way Demetrius described the episode, that the Russian S-1 missiles were a letdown because they failed to down the intruders and therefore leave Syria and Iranian airspace vulnerable to hostile intrusion. Well, I'm not so sure of that. A lot of that depends on where they went and where the missile batteries were actually located. If they were out of range or marginally in range, the battery commanders, and they have Russian advisors, by the way, in each of those countries training them, may have opted not to fire, knowing that the Israelis, intruding with only a single pair of fighters, were probably probing. A Syrian spokesman said the Israeli planes which entered northeast Syria from the Mediterranean were forced to leave by air defense fire after, quote, dropping its ammunition. Well, that could mean any number of things to a fighter pilot. My guess is that it meant the Israelis saw the missile batteries had a lock on them, and they decided to drop their munitions and make a quick exit.
Now, why would they drop the munitions? Was that so they could climb faster, or what?
That's a possibility if they're trying to make a good getaway. If they've got bombs on board, which I doubt they had, and this was not a bombing run. They were not going in there to attack. So I suspect, as did most of the... What they meant by dropped ammunition were actually dropped external fuel tanks, which fighters use to extend their range, but are dropped from the aircraft, just let go, and crash down onto the ground or in the ocean, before engaging or combat and hard maneuvering. Now, this is a real possibility since the Israeli jets flew north out into the Mediterranean Sea prior to circling clear around in the Turkish border and entering Syria from the northeast. That's a long way for a jet to go without external fuel tanks. So I suspect that's what they simply did, is drop their tanks and bug out to avoid a real confrontation with the missiles. Now, I suspect that most of the new missile batteries are, in fact, positioned around Damascus and key military targets rather than the barren northeast sector, which may explain their failure to shoot down the intruders. Russians have sold these batteries to both Assyrians and Iranians, as I said, and the Pantsir missiles are supposed to be completely immune to electronic jamming. So obviously the Israelis and the U.S. are very interested in probing these capabilities, capturing the electronic signature of the radar so that they can find out how to jam these. And I think that's what was happening.
All right. Of course, now the Syrians are making a big issue out of that, even threatening to retaliate because they say this was, you know, in essence, an attack on Syria.
Well, it certainly was a violation of their airspace.
Right.
But these things, I believe, these kinds of activities, including overflights by reconnaissance aircraft or harbingers of future war, I think the independent report, UK Independent was reporting the British troops, you know, we heard about their departing their base in Basra, but that is not apparently synonymous with leaving Iraq. British forces have been sent from Basra to the border area with Iran amid warnings from senior U.S. commanders who requested that the British troops be moved to the border, that Tehran is fomenting a proxy war. So I think what we're seeing here is that you know, the Americans are getting the British to get up by the border trying to provoke an Iranian attack. They may even cross over the border to try to provoke that attack. So that, you know, the U.S. is desperately looking for an excuse to launch this attack on Iran, and they need some kind of triggering involvement. Moving British troops may put them at risk, and maybe you may ask, why don't they put American troops out there, which would be a direct affront to Americans, is remember that the British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, is under attack within his own government to withdraw from Iraq. And so I think the U.S. wants the Brits to draw first blood, to get them back involved with the war, and to get public opinion incensed in Britain to join with the U.S. in the attack against the Iranians.
Well, at least I have a feeling that they want to provoke the Iranians into doing something, so that we can then use that, whatever the incident is, to justify our attack on Iran. Because I think the die is cast, the decision has been made. We've just got to sell this to the American people, most of them who don't want to expand the war, but they don't understand that the people in charge are much smarter than us common people, and they have much more lofty goals, and they have a different goal, a different purpose. I mean, they really, of course, I believe, want a war with the Islamic world, and I think they're going to get one way or the other.
I think so, too. Well, moving on to Israel itself, there was a leak coming out of the Palestinian Authority that indicates that the Israel government, once again trying to betray its own people, has secretly agreed to start destroying Jewish settlements in the West Bank. Palestinian Authority's Ma'an news agency published a copy in Hebrew of Prime Minister Olmert's agreement to expel tens of thousands of Jews and replace them with a Palestinian state in the West Bank. The PA, Palestinian Authority, claims that the document's 8 points represent the principles of agreement already secretly agreed upon between Prime Minister Olmert and Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas at their upcoming Middle East summit in November. And these points, according to the preliminary agreement, must be agreed upon at the November summit, and I'll explain why I think they want it dramatically announced at the summit. First of all, Israel will end the occupation of the West Bank with an agreed-upon time period. The retreat and the evacuation of settlements will occur gradually and in several stages, and each area that is evacuated will be turned over to the Palestinian Authority. So in other words, we kick the Jews out, and all the settlements that have been paid for by American taxpayer money and Jewish money, and just turn them over to the Arabs. Second, an unarmed, they claim, unarmed Palestinian state will be established whose permanent borders will be based on the pre-1967 borders, the so-called Green Line.
But how can we say it's going to be an unarmed Palestinian state when
we're
having weapons all the time?
That's my point. Terrorists have never been disarmed in Israel, and Israel keeps giving arms to the, quote, legitimate Palestinian Authority, and these arms filter down to other terrorists. And plus, in fact, they have these rockets flowing in from Egypt. I mean, this is just ludicrous to claim that an unarmed Palestinian state is going to be established. I mean, the Palestinians themselves would never agree to be unarmed, and Hamas certainly will not agree to be unarmed.
And of course, we're sending weapons into the PLO, into Abbas's group, and then somehow or other, why they're ending up in the hands of the Hamas. So we're really arming both sides there in the Palestinian state, and both sides hate Israel, and neither side is going to rest until Israel has been destroyed. And the idea of giving up land for peace is the most ridiculous thing in the world, because the Muslim religion, by its very faith, demands that they drive the Jews out of the Holy Land.
Well, you know, these lists that I'm going through are typical of the broad euphemisms that they use, which without any details, and the devil is in the details. Number three says there'll be two capitals in Jerusalem, that of Israel and that of Palestine, and they will be sovereign over the Jewish and Arab neighborhoods, respectively. Now, this seems like, oh, that's reasonable. The Jews will be sovereign over the Jews, and the Arabs will be sovereign over the Arabs, except that in the Arab neighborhood is the Temple Mount. So, in essence, Israel's saying we're going to cede complete control of the Temple Mount, with provision number four, which says special arrangements to preserve free access to all the holy sites of the various religions. A special administration will be established to maintain the two nations' bonds with the holy sites of the old city of Jerusalem. And then we've got a prayer chance of implementing that. I mean, you don't have a committee that decides that. Either one person, one side or the other, has to have an absolute authority. When the Jews controlled the Temple Mount, they gave free access to the Arabs, except that the Arabs had to come through a terror screening thing so no bombs could on it. When the Arabs had charge of it, the Jews were absolutely prohibited from entering. So we know who gives free access. It isn't the joint committee. It has to be, you know, only the Jews have shown the ability to allow free access to the holy sites. Palestine, quote number five, will be recognized as the national home of the Palestinian nation, and Israel will be recognized as the national home of the Jewish nation. Now, of course, Hamas won't be invited to that conference because they would never admit to that. And then number six, the big one, a fair and agreed solution will be found. Notice they're going to have a point here that this is not an agreement. This is an agreement to agree in the future. For the problem of Palestinian refugees with consideration, recognition for the suffering that has caused them, etc., etc. Well, this is a nice-sounding platitude, but impossible to satisfy both sides. The international community, of course, wants the refugee descendants. Few of the refugees are living anymore, the original refugees, to go back to Israel, where they can outvote the Jews and take over democratically, they haven't been able to do it militarily, and that's why the return of refugees to Israel is such a problem. And, you know, they don't state here that that's what the Palestinians are demanding, that these refugees go to Israel. And Palestine, with all of the Palestinian state, isn't going to be willing to take any of these people back themselves. I mean, what good is establishing a Palestinian state for Palestinians if you don't allow any of these displaced people to go back there? Now, when you talk about the rights of the refugees and the land that they were kicked off of, and I will agree, they were correct, the Jews did kick out a lot of these people, as well as the Palestinian leaders kicked off and drove some of their people out as well, because they were intending to come in and attack Israel and wanted their own people out of the way. Both sides are at fault for kicking people out illegally off their land. But that said and that done, after 40 years later, it's almost impossible to go back and reclaim the land. This land has been put into productive use where it wasn't even productive before, and it's just too much of an injustice to undo that. I think these people need to have land given to them, but I think to avoid the future conflict, that land needs to be given to them within the new Palestinian state if you're really going to have a legitimate Palestinian solution.
Well, because they gave them all the land in Gaza. It was rich, it was fertile. I mean, it was sort of the breadbasket of Israel. And what happened when the Palestinians got it? It became a terrorist training camp, and all the greenhouses were destroyed, and all the farms were destroyed. So giving the Palestinians land is not going to solve the problem.
Well, that doesn't seem to be true. And even when Israel has, as in Jordan, exported technology to Jordan and helped the Arabs create their own agriculture, that has worked well, at least in Jordan, but it has not worked well in the Palestinian state areas because of the radical nature of their leaders and the desire and the hatred to reject anything that comes from Israel and to drive Israel off the map. Now, with that said, you know, I mean, my remarks may be viewed as very pro-Israel. I'm not pro-Israel government. The Israeli government is not right-wing. It is only feigning that particular point of view, just as our globalists in charge of our government are feigning Christian conservative values. I believe the leaders of the Israelis are globalists, and they are trying to sell out their country, just as our own government is selling us out to a new world order.
I think that's exactly right. I think it's so important for people to understand that the leaders of Israel are selling out Israel, just as the leaders of the United States are selling out the United States, because they are bound together by a common belief, and that is in globalism, not in nationalism.
And nothing could be more emblematic of that, Dr. Stan, than the Bush administration insistence on going forward with this, letting Mexican trucks into U.S. roadways. We find out now, you know, that there have been meetings between all kinds of secret meetings that are coming to fore now. We find out that the governors of the states just south of Texas have been meeting with U.S. officials for years and planning their roads to join up with this new NAFTA superhighway, Interstate Corridor 35, to go between Texas and Kansas City and on up to the north. And that belies the administration's continual denials that there have been no plans for this, and this is simply an expansion of the freeway system. In addition, we find out that the Olympic Trucking Company out of Monterrey, Mexico, which is the first trucking company to be certified to go into the U.S., was given that approval months ago. So this is not something that has been immediate as the administration or sudden as the administration has claimed.
Well, I think that, of course, I hope that the American people begin to understand that the reason they want to bring the trucks in, the reason that they have not built a fence along the border, the reason that they refuse to do anything about the massive immigration into this country is because our leaders are globalists. And they have no loyalty to America, and they really, of course, want to unite Mexico and the United States and Canada. This is a first step here, uniting the Western Hemisphere, and similar things are going on throughout the world. When are the American people going to look behind what's going on and see the very obvious explanation? Our leaders have a different loyalty.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few consumers even know such products exist. This technology is backed by hundreds of thousands of dollars of testing that the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. SFR, the leader in fuel products, has obtained this technology, and we are so convinced you'll notice the savings that we will give you, the loyal GCN listener, a bottle for free. SFR is not an injector cleaner or typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. Just pay a minimal shipping and handling charge. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll even refund the shipping charge. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-USE-SFR1. That's 1-888-873-7371. Today!
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joel is just saying that he thinks that these new videos of Bin Laden are simply contrived by our intelligence agencies. If you look at the picture of Bin Laden that they're showing on the this most recent video, which was timed to coincide with the appearance of General Petraeus there before the House and the Senate, it isn't Bin Laden. And look at the beard. The old beard was straggly and streaked with gray, and this is a beautiful full beard, extremely black, and looks just like it came out of somebody's disguise, a workshop, you know, a brand new beard, brand new face, broader nose, fuller cheeks. And of course, if you go up on the internet and of course type in Bin Laden dead, you'll find thousands of hits showing the Bin Laden, who had severe kidney disease and was on dialysis, you know, 6 years ago, died long ago. But we can't let the American people know that. We have to have an enemy. Somebody had called and wanted to know, why is Putin doing what he's doing, dissolving the government, putting his bombers on alert? It's all for the psychological impact on America. We now have two enemies. We have the wicked terrorists, and now we have the wicked Putin, who is, of course, George Bush's closest friend, or one of his close friends. George Bush said he looked into Putin's eyes, he saw his soul, and he knew he could trust him. Well, I think we have to ask. I look into those eyes of Putin, and I say evil. And he's a very evil man, but he's going right along with his whole globalist agenda. And, of course, you have to have enemies to detract people's attention away from what's going on here in the United States. So if you really want to understand this, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that, the DVDs, Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, which give you the whole panorama of history and how Christianity fits into that going back to 2,000 years. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, award-winning DVD, Riddles in Stone, award-winning DVD, and then, of course, we hope that many of you want to get some of our new four-tape sets. We have a great four-tape set on the globalism, the secret threat, the impending police state. I specifically recommend that because it goes in the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act. The North American community, the demise of national sovereignty. Incidentally, you can get that along with Jerome Corsi's book, The Late Great USA, and you get a decreased price if you get the two together. And this four tape or four CD set is excellent. And then the truth about the Holocaust. We have so many wonderful tape sets and videos. We hope you'll get them, and you're welcome to copy anything we've made. And, of course, get that out far and wide. People have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. There are secret societies. They have a goal of one world government, of one world religion, a one world leader. And we have to expose it in the time we have left to us, it is assigned to us. We want to remind people about our October 28th all-day seminar at the Aptos Eastcape Golf Course. And we hope that you can come. It's going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning, going to go through to 5 o'clock. We're serving lunch. And, of course, if you're coming from outside, we do have a block of rooms arranged at the Sea Cliff Inn. If you're here in the Monterey Bay area, why, you're going to have to call for reservations. We have to know how many people are coming. October 28th, come and get your friends to come, and hopefully why we can educate people. And, of course, it's really a wonderful, wonderful spirit. We enjoy the programs certainly every year. And then, of course, if you've not yet laid in your supply of emergency supplies, whether it be food substances or health substances, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't got yourself a Berkey water system for filtering water, why, you need it, especially if you're in an area with fluoridated water, but you need it for emergency purposes, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8.
Hey, Emily. Wow, you look great.
I feel great. I've been using MetaCleanse Colon Cleanse.
Really? What is it? How does it work?
MetaCleanse is a natural fiber therapy with ground flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite.